Okay, Cosmos, I could add something to the previous one. I don't know if there's something useful, but just to clarify that, I mean, based on what I said there before, when meaning that the lokas, the next higher loka from where we are, we can, in principle, reach by leaving this physical body. And do it in an up way, so to speak. I'm really still not sure about what the downwards path is about, but let's just stay with this now. In any case, think of that inner space you go in, meaning this world we see through our senses is outside, is an external world existing in the Bahiranga, the external part of God's creation, you could say. And therefore it also makes sense that this axis there that goes through the entire cosmos, all the different worlds, not only this world, and we see it like this, but through all the worlds, all the lokas, that's how Meera is described, then thinking about this axis cannot be done in a three-dimensional spatial way, so to speak. But when we draw it like that, that is just a way of mapping it. It's a way of, you know, taking a multi-dimensional, so to speak, as we would call it, existence, and draw it in a very simplified way, much like we can draw the Earth planet as a round circle. Or as different projections like that. So think of it as a kind of projection. I mean, these drawings, including this description there in the Bhagavatam. Because, and I'm not just speculating now, because we can think like this, that axis continuation into the next loka, if we now stick to the Bhagavatam here, the mirror is going through the loka, so it continues into the next loka. And if we can try now think of that loka not as something inside this space that we can find somewhere up there, but outside and higher outside, so to speak, than this space we are in now, the earthly space, a bit brighter up there. When we get to that loka, to that realm, there is also the, I mean, evidently, the experience of a world, right? There's some ground and there is some sky. But it's of a different nature. It's a different level. And there is also an up and down and a direction, and you find also that axis there. I even read this described, I think, Svedenborg or maybe some of those accounts from mediumship. I don't know, but I found it elsewhere too. And it's of course makes complete sense, because when you are in a world then there are directions of some sort. Therefore, often the directions play a big role in defining a world, so to speak, or a space. And we got measurements, which are of course also always based on units that are familiar to us. That's another question, because we have the Yojana, for instance, that we somehow or other today consider be whatever, 4 miles or 8 miles or something, but which I heard, and I had to dig up the sources for that, were originally, I think I heard from Sadaputa, or in some cases described as segments of the total circumference of the earth. And I think he interpreted that to mean the actual diameter of the earth planet, but it could as well refer to, I'm suggesting the division of the horizon that we see around us into a certain amount of segments. For reference, I mean, that makes pretty much sense to me, because again, that's what, you know, people of the past, and I mean, we still we see the world that way, and if we want to describe it in ways that we can deal with practically, we of course divide it up and measure it up according to what we can see. And we have already, and if we look around at the horizon, we call one place north and one place east and so on. And we have degrees for that. 360 of them. So I'm not suggesting that necessarily Yojanas refer to degrees, or what do you call them? But it could be worth investigating if that would fit this model. Any case, what I wanted to say here, what was it? Was there anything else? No, it was just about this, that it's important to see that this model, which may be made three-dimensional, such as the Meru Yantra, for instance, or the Kala Chakra, is in fact to be understood as higher dimensional, fourth dimensional, or whatever it will be called. Of course, now they say the fourth dimension is time, but I think it really should refer to the higher loka. But that's just, of course, a matter of words and definitions of words. And so on. But yeah, then at least this makes sense to me. And all the, if we then think of it like this, that Well, I'm still confused about the dvipas and all that, but the description of life in different realms, including the gods up there on top of Meru and so on, just makes perfect sense too. And even measurements, that's why I don't worry so much about all the yojanas here or there, because which world are you looking from? Which loka are we seeing it from? It's just, you can't apply that kind of miles and kilometers to all these descriptions of measurements. I'm skeptical to that, at least. Because, yes, again, are we imagining some kind of perspective looking at this whole thing from the outside? How in the world could you imagine that? Looking not only at this physical earthly space as seen from outside from a higher space, but looking at that higher space as seen from an even higher, and so on and so forth, as if we could step out of this entire world, including the highest heavenly regions of subtlety, and watch them as some kind of scientist in a lab, and then start to measure things. It just, there must be something else to these measurements, and they're also very proportional and exact, and they seem to have some numbers written into them that tell us something, but I'm not sure what, if they are at all important, I don't know. But again, it might be worth investigating if they can be found somehow or other in this model as described here. Anyway.